Blog Talk Radio.
Some straightforward.
Yeah, joining us tonight on the queue as our keynote speaker is Mr. Ben Tankard. Ben?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Ask Kathleen. And I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and I have with me on the line tonight Attorney Tanya Hobson Williams and Attorney Keith Allen. And we are here to talk with you this evening about COVID-19 and practicing law under COVID-19 restrictions. We know how much is going on in the world today, and what was important to all of us is to share with you the information that we've gathered and answer some of your questions about COVID-19 and how it impacts either your law practice or a case that you have pending in court right now or how it's impacting your business. So right now, we'll delay no further, and I'll bring in Attorney Tanya Hobson Williams and Attorney Keith Allen. Let's see. Opening your mic. Tanya, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Great. And Keith, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Great.
Awesome.
Wonderful. So we're on the air. We're on the air this evening. And ladies and gentlemen,
great.
Thanks for joining us. And when you are hearing this, you can feel free to dial in. The telephone number is 909-265-9189, and if you'd like to ask us a question, you can just hit 1 and we'll bring you in and get your questions on the air. And until that time, we have a good amount of information to share with you, so you can sit back, relax, listen in, join in, however you'd like to do it. So Attorney Hobson Williams, Tanya, let's start with you. Do you want to share with the folks out there in radio land a little bit about Hobson Williams Law and a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Again, thanks for having us on this very, very timely and important topic. Things seem to be changing on a daily basis. So, you know, we look forward to giving you the information that we have as of today. Our practice is located in Jamaica State, New York, in Queens, the county of Queens. The address is 8701 Midland Parkway, Lobby A, Jamaica States, New York. I've been a practicing attorney for 24 years. We focus on estate matters, elder law, guardianship, Medicaid planning, and overall litigation. We also have an associate in the firm, Keith Allen. I'll let Keith introduce himself.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hobson-Williams, and thank you, Kathleen, for introducing us and having us on the show. And thank you for all those listening out there. We definitely have some valuable information for you. As Ms. Hobson-Williams said, I'm Keith Allen. I'm associate attorney at Hobson-Williams. I've been with Hobson-Williams a little over a year. And like she said, I assist the firm with handling estate matters, elder law, personal injury, landlord, tenant, a variety of services we provide for our clients. So, you know, tonight I'm just excited to help everyone navigate all these different challenges that we're all presented with right now due to the coronavirus. And, you know, hopefully we're going to give you some valuable information today and help some people out. So I'm definitely excited to be here.
Awesome, awesome. And all of you know me. I'm Kathleen Williams, Esquire. I am also a registered nurse. You know, this is the Ask Kathleen Network, and thank goodness we're having an opportunity to come on the air and share with you. I am of counsel at Hobson Williams Law and really excited to be there. And, you know, you've heard a lot about what we do, and we're pretty much a full-service firm that offers everything and has some other attorneys that work with us. So give us a call whenever you're ready. And so what I'm going to do now is just turn to our fabulous outline that you've written for us, Tanya. And we can start out with the question a lot of people have asked me over the past few days: what's essential and what's a non-essential business? So we all know that right now in the state of New York and also in the state of New Jersey, which Keith will talk a lot about in a few minutes, in the state of New York, we're on what they called a pause. Everybody else in the world calls it as lockdown, shutdown, whatever else. The governor has called it a pause. And what that means for us is that only essential businesses are allowed to be open. If you are a non-essential business, your businesses are supposed to be closed and your employees are supposed to stay home. And the purpose of this is so that they can arrest the rapid, outrageously rapid spread of the coronavirus or COVID-19. If you've been watching the news, and I'm sure you have, you know that the numbers of infections in the state of New York has now surpassed every place in the United States of America. We're leading in infections of the coronavirus. And they're saying basically that the rapid rise in the infections, in the manner in which it's moving, they're saying that we won't be far behind Italy. Some are saying that if we did not declare this sort of a pause, and other experts are even saying if we don't make it even more aggressive than it currently is now, that we will see outrageous numbers of New Yorkers infected with the virus. So that's why the governor has stated that only essential businesses are open. They want all employees to stay at home. Schools are closed. Children are being homeschooled. Colleges, universities, everything, all like that. People are out of work. Some people are out of work. Some people are just off work temporarily. Some businesses have had to lay people off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the distinctions that the governor placed on this particular hold is that essential businesses can remain open, non-essential businesses cannot. So we're going to start there. And Tanya, you want to kick it off for New York for the differences, what's essential and what's not essential, and go through the list?
Sure. There are going to be some gray areas with respect to what's essential and what's non-essential or not essential. But basically, the governor has put forth an executive order indicating that any profit or nonprofit business is covered, and that the restrictions are with respect to in-person contacts. So the governor's executive order has outlined that certain healthcare industries, or most healthcare industries, are considered essential. That would include hospitals, labs, emergency veterinary services, elder care services, home healthcare workers, doctors, nursing homes, businesses that provide medical supplies are all considered essential operations in the healthcare industry. But as you can see, that leaves a lot of other things not mentioned specifically, such as dental. It remains to be seen whether something like a dentist or orthopedic, podiatrist, chiropractor, whether any of those services would be considered essential under the healthcare operation. Kathleen, you would probably have a little more insight into that. But for now,
yeah,
those are.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, for now, those are the specific industries that the governor has outlined with respect to health care.
Right. So the for what I see on dental, they're saying emergency dental. So I don't know if you can go get a cleaning right now or something like that. I think you could probably expect that they're not going to do cleaning, but emergency dental. And it's so funny that you mentioned dental because I think it was yesterday I drank something. I was drinking some tea, and I was like, uh-oh, I got a toothache.
Not a good time for a toothache.
It's not a good time for a toothache. And I go to the dentist all the time, too. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute now. This is not even cute. This isn't funny. But it's from what I see, emergency dental. So I'm going to call my dentist and see if he tells me to, you know, to take two Tylenol and call him in the morning. But whatever.
He probably will. It says,
he probably will. Anyway, so doctor and emergency dental. So doctor could include chiropractic, you know, because it could. I'm not really sure. If there is someone with severe back pain or something and they need to go in and check a chiropractor, I would imagine that they might be able to do it if they're willing, you know, because a lot of people, even in the medical profession, are not that eager to provide services right now if they don't have to. So it remains to be seen. But I do have some other issues with clinics and holistic centers and naturopathic centers and so forth, like colon therapists and others that are planning to check with the city to make sure that they can remain open. So that's one thing.
Also, one of the areas that has arisen is places that have animal adoption. So even though emergency veterinary and livestock services is an essential service, I know one animal shelter in Long Island, I won't name them, but they have decided to close down. So animals can't be adopted at this point, but presumably if you have a pet who needs some sort of emergency care, you can take your animal to a vet for that purpose. But I know animal adoption centers appear to have decided to close down, and they're not seeking to be considered an essential service.
And that is interesting, too. I mean, I get it. I definitely understand because they probably don't want a lot of people coming through at this time. But, you know, I think like you had mentioned, Tanya, yesterday, that it would seem that they would want the animals to be adopted right now. But, you know, we certainly get it because this virus is very wicked, you know, it's wicked and is moving so fast through.
That's right.
Cities, states,
the country,
the world. So it's very difficult for people to say, you know, listen, if we don't have to be open, why should we? And definitely they can keep the animals for the time being until this passes and then they can start the adoptions again. So, Keith, you want to bring us into some of the essential services in New Jersey?
Yes. Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you, Tanya, regarding the essential business in New York. So New Jersey, very similar. And what people need to know is that Governor Murphy and Governor Cuomo are working together to have similar, if not almost exactly the same directive and executive orders regarding what businesses can stay open and what businesses are actually being totally shut down, which is something they also want to mention. So New Jersey, very similar to New York. You know, your grocery stores are going to be open. Any medical supply pharmacies, any businesses that provides medical supplies and provides medicine for people to get access to, your gas stations, any even a food store, convenience, a dollar store, because they are providing food, which we all need, and things for survival, like hardware stores are still open. Of course, we need access to money, banks and financial institutions, even your laundromat, you got to have clean clothes, right, are still open. But it's interesting, a contrast, restaurants, as you all know, A lot of them have shut down, I have seen, but they're only open for takeout and delivery, which I'm pretty sure is the same in New York. But I think we want to contrast also to is what is totally shut down. You know, people can't go anywhere. So theaters, a lot of entertainment venues, all those are shut down due to limit the congregation of people. So I want to advise people out there, you know, if you're trying, because we can't go to our normal entertainment venues to you know, come together and have some fun, you know, it's really important for take precautions for people's safety. If you try to congregate, you can't cross states and, you know, think there's a different law in effect. It's the same thing, and you can be fined if, you know, you're deemed to be congregating in violation of these orders with too many people. So we have to be very careful out there. We have to be vigilant. And not that we can't have fun. We have to find new creative ways to come together, like video chat and on the telephone, to protect, you know, all of us in light of what's
right,
going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'll love to this. So this, I have a question for both of you, but since you mentioned entertainment, I'll just go ahead and give D Nice a plug. So online, there is a homeschool virtual quarantine party that's been going on for the last couple of days on Instagram with DJ D Nice, D-N-I-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
there.
Actually,
I was
on it. Yes, I was too. And I was dancing and having a good little old time. The
mm-hmm.
music is fantastic. He's a great DJ. And yesterday, I think he broke 160,000 people on his Instagram page, and on Saturday, I think it was even higher than that. And so he was on CBS this morning with Gayle King. Gayle King was there. Michelle Obama was there Saturday night. Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris,
mm-hmm.
Cory Booker, Stevie Wonder, Janet Jackson, Common, Steph Curry, you name it. Everybody, Mary J, Mariah Carey was on yesterday. It was so much fun. And the music is just fantastic. So that he plays old school, new school, and everything else in between. So if you need some entertainment, you want to go to a party, he's supposed to be on tonight, I think now, 6 o'clock.
No, we think. But that doesn't mean people should leave us to go there yet.
Don't leave us.
They want to get
to go
this
there.
Information
you
want to
get this. Right. You want to catch up first and then jump over. But you know what I wanted to ask you about, Keith? You mentioned the grocery stores, pharmacies, convenience stores and so forth, and it says restaurants and bars, but only for takeout and delivery. But what about liquor stores? Are the liquor stores cool?
So, interesting enough, the liquor stores are deemed an essential business.
Absolutely.
They are open.
Really?
Yes.
I think so. I think a lot of people would think so.
Am I showing my ignorance here?
It is essential, okay? I don't need the governor to tell me it's essential. Keep them open.
Sorry. Okay.
That's my little 2 cents.
All right. We'll tell the reverend to get a life here. So we'll definitely.
Essential for me, not for you.
Essential business. And you know what? When I was thinking about that, I said, I wonder, because it says restaurants and bars, but only for takeout and delivery. So I said,
right.
Well, they don't mention the liquor stores here. So that's interesting. But you can get gas for your car. You can. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, I guess, takeout food, you know, we did have an interesting question from a client.
Yes.
Who sells ice cream.
Yes.
And whether or not his ice cream store was an essential business. Do we have any guidance or any opinions on that? Because people are you know, are in different food product industries, and they may have questions about whether their business would qualify as a retail. Because in New York, it does say that grocery stores, including all food and beverage stores. So would that include ice cream stores or parlors?
I think so. I think so. Listen, essentially, if you're, you know, the first thing somebody goes after when they're depressed is a pint of ice cream. I'm lactose intolerant, so that's not me. But that's like the first thing. And not only that, but they sell birthday cakes. Today is somebody's anniversary. You know, they might want to go get an anniversary cake. And I know the ice cream stores, they sell cakes. They sell ice cream. They sell all kinds of stuff. So I would imagine that they should fall under the takeout and delivery for at least, you know, people should be able to come in and take out, maybe not sit in there and dine. But if the grocery stores can be open, that could be deemed prejudicial if you say grocery can sell ice cream, but the ice cream store can't sell ice cream. I don't know.
Exactly.
No, I agree with that because it's not specific. It just says food and beverage store. You know, I think that one could conclude ice cream would be a food or a beverage if you wait too long. But but before we go on, I just want to I want to state that questions like this, or if a business is not sure whether or not their industry is considered an essential business, that they can make an application to request that their business be designated as an essential business. And maybe after we can provide the link or something so that people can go and, you know, sign up if they want their business to be deemed essential.
And if they, if you do happen to be open and you get a fine, or, you know, someone comes in and says you should be closed and you feel you should be open, then you can call our law firm and we can help you out with that. So, Tanya, Keith, you want to give the phone number? And email address?
Well, the go ahead, Keith.
Oh, no, do you want to give the number? I don't know which where I could
do it. Locally, we would be 718-210-4744. The website is nyguardian.com. That's nyguardian.com. We also have a toll-free number, but you'll have to give me a minute. At the end, I'll give the toll-free number.
Okay, no problem. All right, great. So, Keith, did you want to add something else before we move on to the issues with the courts?
Yes. Thank you, Kathy. I just want one thing to add on to what Tanya was saying about the food stores and kind of the, those businesses where it kind of is on the borderline, whether it's essential or non-essential. So I definitely agree that an ice cream store would be. And, you know, New Jersey, it's interesting the way they define it. It says other food stores, including retailers that offer a varied assortment of foods comparable to what exists at a grocery store. So Kathleen, your ice cream example is right on point because, you know, if you go to Whole Foods or ShopRite, they sell ice cream and a whole bunch of other groceries, where if you go to Carvel, it's just ice cream or any other ice cream store, you know, which, you know, any other ice cream franchise. So I think that, you know, in New Jersey, I've seen some ice cream stores not be open because maybe they might not generate business. It's to their owner's judgment, but I would say in New Jersey, they can be open. So.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think the only area we didn't talk about was, I think, Section 8 on our little outline that you prepared for us, Tanya, was the providers of basic necessities to economically disadvantaged populations. So homeless shelters and congregate care facilities, food banks, and human services providers. So that provides direct care, of course, direct care patients in state-funded or funded voluntary programs, care, protection, custody, and oversight of individuals in the community and state-licensed residential facilities, those operating community shelters and other critical human service agencies. And I think, you know, the other thing that I wanted us to talk about, which has been impacting a lot of families, A friend of mine I just spoke with, well, at least two or three families I've spoken to, a good friend of mine in Georgia right now, I talked to him the other day, and he mentioned that his father is in, has had some problems recently and was recently put in a nursing home. And so during this time right now, so the father is having some, you know, a lot of different challenges. He's getting older, maybe some mental health issues and so on and so forth. But at this particular time, when he really needs to see his dad, he can't see him. He can't go in.
Yeah.
So a lot of the nursing home facilities and so forth, where the elderly who are the most vulnerable, as we're told, with this virus, they are, if they happen to be in nursing home facilities or in rehabilitation centers and so forth, they are not accepting visitors. So that, and that's a real challenge, especially if you have family members. Well, they're not accepting visitors anyway, but if you're a family member who has underlying medical conditions and you happen to be elderly as well, you really can't go. So it's a problem. So I don't know if you all wanted to jump in on that at all.
Well, I think that's a very good point and issue. I think that, you know, the elderly, they present a number of problems. And Kathleen, I'm sure you can speak to it better than I can. But, you know, the fact that they're one of the categories who are most susceptible to this virus, you know, makes them, you know, like I said, a category of individuals we have to be mindful of for a number of reasons. And not only with respect to long-term care and facilities, but as I mentioned to you earlier, there was a situation someone raised about a home care worker taking a senior citizen outside and whether that raises any issues for concern. For the, and whether there are issues with AIDS coming to the house. I also saw something where there's some aides who don't want to, you know, take these cases right now. They're concerned with their own health and the health of their, you know, their patient as well.
Right. And, you're absolutely right. And I know every, just like even in the hospitals, and this brings up all kinds of issues, because for one thing, the home care workers, home health aides, if they haven't had a flu shot, since we're still in flu season, if your home health aide has not had a flu shot, they have to, by law, Department of Health mandate anyway, regulation, they have to wear a mask the entire time they're in your home. So now what we're finding is that the home care agencies, if they're like the hospitals, they're on short supply of masks, one. So that's one thing. So even if they are, if they're not, if they have been vaccinated with a flu shot, they may want to protect themselves from the entire family because when they're going into a home, they can't tell the family they can't be there. So they're exposing themselves to whatever happens to be in the home in the way of whether it's children now that are home from school or other family members who would normally be at work, then it might be even impacting the home care industry because if family members who would normally be at work needed a home health aide because they were at work, they may not need that aide anymore, so they might be losing money. So it's a very complicated issue to address.
Right.
And again, you know, if you're having some legal problems, legal challenges, or you really don't know which direction to go with issues surrounding your home health aides or your home care agency, you can certainly give us a call. But to your point with that question or that scenario with the aide who was taking the client out for a walk, I think that person really needs to have a conversation with that aide and have a conversation with that agency to say, hey, listen, if you're taking her for a walk, it can only be in the backyard.
or someplace
right.
very isolated where she can just get a little air and some sunshine and then go right back inside, making sure that
right.
you're engaging in the social distancing and making sure that the aides understand what that means. Because, you know, for the best of us, it takes like, who's like, what does that mean again? How far? Where can we go?
Right.
How do you do this?
Right.
And if they're trying mm-hmm. to go to the store, I'll just mention this as well. At Trader Joe's, sorry, I probably shouldn't have said the name. Okay, a store out in Long Island, they had lines outside. They had lines outside. And so they were enforcing social distancing inside the store by monitoring how many people could go in the store at a time. So you couldn't just walk in with your cart and go in whenever you felt like it. You had to wait until a certain number of people came out of the store before you could go in
right.
the store. So I think they only
right.
had, I can't remember how many people, but maybe like 20, maximum 25 mm-hmm. people in the whole store at one time. So there were no lines
right.
at the cashiers, no lines in the aisles and so forth, you know. And the line, but the line outside was long, and you had to wait until people came out before they would let you in. It was very interesting, but I thought they were doing an excellent job. They were doing an
well,
excellent
job. Well, I know also one of the big box, what do you call it, stores that provide home improvement goods.
Uh-huh.
That they also were doing something similar, from what I understand, that they were marking the floor and telling customers that if you had a question about something in the store in one of the specialty departments, you couldn't go past this line if you wanted to ask
a
question. So that's
wow.
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 Yeah. Yeah, one of the big.
And we really need that in New York, where people
one.
Really don't understand space.
Yeah.
Right.
People, you know, we really don't get space very well. I wonder what they're doing on the subway. I wonder how they're doing that.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
scary.
Yeah.
That's scary. But Keith, you mm-hmm. Take the subway, or were taking the subway. Have you been on the
right.
subway at all, or the train?
No, I haven't been on the subway since about 10 days ago or so. And at that time, I saw a little bit of a drop of the amount of people, but I've heard and I've seen some pictures people posted. It's pretty scarce right now. The rush hour is not rush hour as usual. So definitely a significant
mm-hmm.
change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Kathleen, that is also in the outline, but it's not what the section that you just referred to for the providers of basic necessities, which
uh-huh.
I would presume would include churches and other houses of worship. Now,
yeah.
it's not included, you know, it could be a separation of church and state issue,
right.
but they can't order houses of worship to close, I don't believe, but they are recommending it. Is that your understanding?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is my understanding. And it's very interesting because what they did do, before we got to this official pause, if you will, or, you know, shelter at home, whatever they're calling it. They did mention two houses of worship. This was not this Sunday, the Sunday before, that they wanted the houses of worship to abide by the numbers. The state said that they didn't want gatherings of greater than, they started out with 500 people. Then before the week's end, they said, no, we don't want any we don't want any places that are gathering more than 250 people. And I think that came out
mm-hmm.
like last week, Saturday. So that meant quite a few churches that had congregations of 1,000, 10,000 or more were saying, okay, so how do we do this? We, you know, click everybody in, and once we get to 250, we're going to stop. And so what
mm-hmm.
most of the churches that I was familiar with did on that
Saturday, not this past, but the one before, was they decided to close because by morning, by the end of the evening on Saturday, they had dropped that 250 number to 50. And then by the next week now, they had dropped it even further to 10. So 10. My church had service last week Sunday, but yesterday we did not. And the pastor said, we likely will not have service again for a while until this recovers. So several of the larger churches I know are having services online, whether it's on Facebook Live or they're doing a conference call. The pastor's preaching by himself somewhere and doing a conference call and people are calling in on Sunday. It's really very, very interesting. Most
the new
of
normal.
The houses
I think,
of worship.
I think, mm-hmm. yeah, I think this is a new normal. This is what we're going to see in a lot of areas going forward.
Yeah.
So, very interesting.
I absolutely agree. It is very interesting. And so what I'm also seeing, too, and I'm sure everybody else is noticing this, is since most people are now being asked to work from home because of the virus. Now, a lot of industries have already begun, you know, some work from home a couple days a week or whatever. But now, because of this pause that we're on, a lot of industries, if their employees can work from home, they're being told to have them work from home. So what we're seeing now is the lines are inundated. So if you're trying to make a conference call on these free conference call lines and even some of the other more popular modes of conference calling and video calling and so forth, sometimes you can't get on because they're swarmed. You know, so I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you have to make sure if you're working from home that you have sufficient bandwidth to support a lot of this internet activity that you would be doing from home now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which brings up the other issue, and we can talk about that on our next show, is, you know, how are people making sure they're protecting their information when they're working, when they have their employees working from home, if they're not an industry that is accustomed to having their employees work from home, how are they able to set that up and protect it and train their employees so they don't have the children playing on, you know, sites with, you know, they're not playing free cell with people's healthcare information and so forth. It's challenging. So anyway.
Right. That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah. We can talk about that maybe a little bit more on our next show. So let's talk about the courts right now. So if people have cases in the courts and they want to break through somebody, they feel they've been wronged or they have a personal injury someplace, what do folks do? Are the courts open?
Keith?
So that is a good question and topic you brought up, Kathleen. So right now the courts in New York are open, but they're per administrative order, the last update's March 22nd, a couple of days ago, only for essential proceedings. So it's very similar to write the essential word in terms of what business can be open. It's in the same area of the court system. It's what is deemed essential. So basically, and we're kind of a broad overview, the essential areas of law and proceedings are in the following areas: criminal matters, family court, and Supreme Court, and civil or housing matters. Okay, and under these, there's some different types of cases and different areas where people are trying to get either certain relief or different criminal matters that are have particular consequences where it is deemed essential. So for criminal matters, you have arraignments, bail applications, order for protection, family court. Some example of essential cases are for child protection, emergency family offense petitions, order to show cause. For Supreme Court, you know, what we handle in Hobson Williams Law Firm, you know, dealing with the mental hygiene law applications, also mental hygiene hearings addressing involuntary administration of medication. So anything that really, if you kind of want to have a commonality here, anything dealing with the safety of people, anything affecting people's liberty, in protecting people's health and you know, their body, their well-being, their access to money, their housing, those kind of issues, really essential to your survival, those are what the kind of courts are deemed essential. If you want to kind of get an idea, if someone gets an idea of, okay, is this an essential activity, that's kind of your guide. And that's what the court have done. They really have narrowed the access to the courts for these proceedings, you know, right now. And that's kind of how they're doing it. So
yeah. And what's interesting, you know, and is somewhat unprecedented during my period of practicing law. I mean, they've had moratoriums on evictions. You know, they have them from time to time, you know, during holidays and other matters. But right now, all evictions are called off, which is very interesting. So what I've been getting from people are questions about, do I have to pay my rent? If I can't be evicted, do I need to pay my rent? So those are some of the issues that are coming out of this. I think that it poses a very interesting concern. I know that landlords who may have mortgages, they may find some relief from having to pay their mortgage. So therefore, if they have a tenant who's not paying rent, they may not have to pay their mortgage. But not all landlords have mortgages. That might not be an issue for them. They may be using the rent for their livelihood, for other household expenses. So, you know, we do have some colleagues that represent mainly landlords, and I'm sure that they can offer, you know, maybe on another call, some insight into what landlords are doing. I mean, they can't evict. Are there going to be issues of harassment now? Because maybe some people are saying, I'm not going to pay my rent. So the landlord's starting to harass tenants as a result to push them out some kind of way. And I also heard some conversations about people who are homeless. What happens with them? You know?
Yeah.
How do we protect them?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Especially, you know, a lot of our homeless residents in New York and particular don't want to go into shelters anyway because of the issues of crime and lack of cleanliness and so on and so forth. But, you know, what would happen if someone – what will happen when someone – if someone in a shelter gets the virus? And what do they do then, you know? Because if this spreads this way and, you know – we see how rapid it's spreading, and it's airborne, and it lives on surfaces, and all of these other things. And if the regular state of the shelter is a lack of cleanliness, then what can really be done to beef up the sterilizing of air surfaces, bathrooms, beds, you name it, in a situation like this? So I'm hoping that the nonprofits, the governments, and so on and so forth is assisting the shelters in making sure that they can, you know, enhance the sterilization and cleanliness because they have large groups of people that not necessarily in all in one room or whatever, but in a lot of instances, you do have a lot of people in one environment, whether they're eating together in the cafeteria areas or whatever, which is, you know, one of the reasons why they close schools and gyms and pools and so on and so forth. And I think another topic for us to talk about, too, is, you know, gyms and gym memberships and all these other things that people are paying, they want to pause or cancel, and are they able to, and what happens legally if they choose to do that? So we can come back to that. We'll add that to our long list of topics to discuss.
Right. This is impacting every area of life. It's amazing.
Every area of life. It really is. So we have hit 7:45 when I told you all that the time would fly.
You did.
So I wanted to just open it up to both of you if you've received any questions or anything else that we didn't address today that, you know, we may not be able to go into in detail in our last 10 minutes or so to, you know, that you'd like to bring up or have us research going forward.
Well, I just want to add a couple of things about the court system is that many of the matters that may have been scheduled in court, whether it's the Supreme Court, surrogate court, criminal court, but particularly Supreme Court in the civil part, many of the matters scheduled in March and April have all been pushed out to May, at least to May. Any filings, if it's not an emergent nature, the court is not entertaining it. They have issued, the chief administrative judge has indicated that effective immediately that the county clerk and the courts are not to accept any papers for filing unless it's considered an essential proceeding. So if you want to file a lawsuit, unless it's of an emergent type, it's not going to be filed. Any motions are being handled by stipulation or being adjourned to a later date. So essentially, everything has come to a halt unless it's one of those essential proceedings that Keith talked about. I also just wanted to mention quickly that in the Queens Surrogates Court, which is normally located at 88-11 Sutton Boulevard in Jamaica, that the surrogate court is relocating to the civil court building, which is across the street at 8917 Sutton Boulevard. And that you should call the court or go to their website if you have any questions about your case or whether or not you can commence an action. You can always call our office. The local number is 718-210-4744. The toll-free number is 1-866-825, the number 1-LAW. Keith?
Yes. Thank you, Tanya. I just want to also add, too, in terms of the legal ramifications. In addition to the courts, you know, we also have to look at how it affects the laws regarding our civil liberties as far as, like, driver's license and the laws regarding traffic laws. You know, Governor Cuomo has also extended, just like Tanya said, cases have been adjourned. These laws have, as far as expiration of licenses and different types of licenses, identifications, you know, those dates have been pushed back as well. I think Governor Cuomo pushed it back to April 19th. So that is affected as well.
So the DMV, that's an essential business, right?
Go ahead,
Keith.
I think it would be in a sense that it is in the government sphere. That's my understanding. At least.
Okay, so we'll
I think they're probably considered essential, but I don't think they're open.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think they're open for people to come in.
Oh, they're just the workers are there to the extent it may be. Okay, so we can check on that and maybe have it on our next show. But Keith, I wanted to ask you Keith and Tanya, I wanted to ask you about the statute of limitations. So, for example, you know, the statute of limitations and times for filing. For example, if somebody has a trip and fall on a New York City sidewalk, they only have a certain amount of time to file. So if they're not taking any filings, or if somebody's looking at a statute of limitations and so forth, what do they do?
Well,
so,
go ahead, Keith.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. My understanding is that the statute of limitations, and I know there's also an order, an executive order on that, that came down, they are told. So, meaning they are extended, that people would, you know, the time limits and the statute of limitations that are currently in effect under law are not, are basically told or extended because of what is happening.
And they didn't give any particular time, though, right? So we're just going to have to play this day by day and play by ear until they give us the date.
Right. These things seem to be changing almost on a daily basis. So, you know, as we get information, we're definitely trying to update everyone.
Right.
You know, it's a difficult time.
Yep.
It's a difficult time. So,
and you know, I have some wards too. People who are who've been deemed incapacitated by the court, need assistance, who can't get out of the house, and so as guardians, as caregivers, you know, we have the responsibility of going out there and making sure that these people, our seniors, have what they need, so that they don't have to leave the house and, you know, potentially be exposed.
That's right.
So I guess we can begin to wrap up, but the what you're just saying right now, Tanya, brings up the issue also of, you know, our seniors who have dementia or Alzheimer's. And they are sometimes found wandering the streets at night, and, you know, it's happening all of a sudden, and they just walk out, they go out, and some of them get lost sometimes. This is a real time to make sure that folks are paying super, super, super close attention to their family members who are suffering from diseases like dementia, Alzheimer's, and other mental health problems that may result in their wandering. This is an important time for them. And so, so there's a lot to talk about. And we also had a lot of information that we wanted to share with you. Tanya, you prepared some great notes here, information that we wanted to be able to give you, our audience, about assistance that is available from the state of New York in particular, and Keith may have some of that information available for New Jersey. There's some financial relief available for homeowners and for tax filings. It's extended. Tanya, I think you have here the deadline for filing taxes has been moved from April 15th to July 15th. Because many of us can't get our information over to our accountants right now because they don't want to come over and we don't want to go see them, or we can't. So that's one thing. And homeowners, not like we always wanted to see them anyway, but you know. So homeowners as well. There's some financial relief for homeowners, and we'll make sure we get that information posted for you on the website and or our Facebook pages, respectively. And we will do another show. I don't know, Tanya, Keith, do we want to set one now, or we can just decide later and we'll post it everywhere and send it out? You want to wait? We can wait. We can wait and decide when we're going to be back on the air. And we'll be sure to let you know. Everybody, will be sure to let you know. And we want to thank you so much for your time. Tanya, Keith,
amazing. I think we've done a good job and a good service for our clients and our community. So
yes,
thank you both for being here tonight.
Yes, thank
and,
you for this forum. Thank you.
Yeah, this was great. So we'll find some time to come back on and meet with you again. For now, this is Hobson Williams Law, bringing you information on how to survive legally under COVID-19. And stay safe, everybody. Stay home if you can. Follow your social distancing. And if you have any questions, please give us a call, Hobson Williams Law, at 718-210-4744. Or if you're out of state, at 866-825-1-LAW. And our website, you can find us at New York Guardian, New York, NYGUARDIAN, NewYorkGuardian.com. Everybody, stay safe. We love you. Have a great evening.
Have a good night.
This is all.